Hello, and welcome to the second episode of A Writer's Journey, the podcast that will talk about everything the aspiring author wants to know about going from blank page to published. I'm Sarah Whitford, and I'm here today with Terrence Zepke. Terrence is author of 24 books, and she will be giving us all kinds of great information about more ways to begin getting your ideas for your book on paper. As she mentioned in the last episode, if you have an idea for a book or if you want to become an author, there's really no need to worry a whole lot about other steps in the process until you've actually gotten that book down on paper. So, Terrence, take it away.
Okay. Hi, Sarah. I didn't get a chance to mention in the last episode when we were mentioning all your many credentials that you're a magazine editor and a website developer, but you actually designed my website, so if anybody goes to TerrenceZepke.com and they're impressed, they owe it to you. So I just wanted to make sure to mention that, yes. But like she said, I wanted to also mention that we are talking, right now we're at the stage where we're talking to you about how to get started. But as an established author, I just wanted to say that we're also going to cover stuff later in the series, or maybe throughout even, on special topics, where we're going to help people, even when you've already had a book published. The things I'm learning now, the way the publishing industry has changed in the last couple of years, the things I'm learning about how to market effectively on social media and all kinds of stuff like that. So even if you're farther along in your journey, I want to make sure that you know that we hope we have some information that'll be helpful for you.
That's right, and I hope Terrence won't mind me mentioning that there's been a little bit of prodding along the way to get her on board with some aspects of the whole building a platform with social media thing, but I think she's finding that it can be rewarding in its own way.
Yeah, things were done differently when I started writing, it's been a real learning curve, and Sarah has done some not so gentle prodding to get me into this era of book promotion and all, and so I do have to thank her as well as curse her at times.
Well, whatever it takes.
Yeah, but we are talking right now about how to get started, and I know when you're a new writer, and I've had to rein Sarah in a bit about this too, mm-hmm. You get so excited that as soon as you get a concept and you get some pages done and all, you're wanting to, you know, start talking about, you know, publishing it, you know, and marketing it and, you know, starting your website and all. And these are wonderful thoughts, and it's great to be enthusiastic, but really you just got to get the story on paper before you can get to this next stage. So I just want to make sure that you do that, because so many people, it falls apart as you're trying to get the story down. You might get 10 pages or 20 pages or whatever in, and then you just you get discouraged. And part of that is because you haven't approached it correctly. And so that's the point of this, is to make sure you get off on the right foot.
Yes, and don't use – like, I noticed this summer, because I found a few great books on the process of writing a novel, and I can see how it's very easy to get led down a trail of losing yourself in books on how to write a novel, but don't use those books as a procrastination to actually starting your novel, or finishing it for that matter. So,
and if you start with a method and it's not working for you, just walk away. And try something different. You know, nothing is etched in stone. This is all individual. It's not one size fits all. So if you try Scrivener or you try the three-act approach and it just doesn't seem to be doing the trick for you, just try something else. It's that simple, you know. So I did want to say, because we talked about Scrivener in the first podcast, so we're not going to go down that road again, but we will have information about that on our websites, the links where you can find out more if you missed that, or you can obviously just go to the first podcast if you're jumping in now. But about Scrivener, I did want to make sure to mention, I believe that is paid software, right, Sarah?
Yes, it is. There is a trial. I believe it's a 30-day trial, but then after that, you do pay for it.
Okay. Now, I wanted to mention then, we'll just jump into the second thing, and that this is something that's called Rezoff Notes.
I have no idea what this is, so I'm looking forward to hearing this along with our audience.
Okay. I'm not going to try to spell it out. We'll just put the link for that on the website, and you can look for that. But it's another software option that's similar to Scrivener. But I have heard a lot of really good things about it, including that it has less clutter than Scrivener, and it's just plain easier to use, which perked my ears up, as you know, Sarah, when I hear anything is an easier,
easier
option, because I'm not, Sarah's the high-tech gal, I'm the low-tech gal, so I have to tell her sometimes we're not all wired that way. So, and so you don't want to get so discouraged trying to learn something that you end up breaking down and walking away. But at the same time, once you learn something, you do find that it is something that works well for you and makes sense. So just, you know, give it a try there. And Resolve Notes is another option that you have there, in addition to Scrivener. And I know that there's a lot of other programs. I don't even know them all, but I know one is called Darkroom. One of them is Write Monkey, that's obviously WRITE, Write Monkey. Notepad for just, that's very basic. And Zen Writer is another one. And there's even something called Evernote, and that's free. So you can try that without a commitment. So, there's just a lot of different options out there. I know one of the more well-known one and the more acclaimed ones is Scrivener, but there are some of these other things that you can try as well, if you're wanting to do it computerized like that. So,
what do you like to use when you write your books? Because you've written two dozen books, and so what is your favorite?
I don't know. I'm so embarrassed to say this because you're so high tech, you'll just be laughing and screaming, but I still write longhand a lot of my
stuff.
I'm
not embarrassed. I think that's great. I think that's fantastic because let's face it, like I said, you've published two dozen books. Yeah. You obviously have something working.
So. Yeah, I just, my problem is not ideas. My problem is time. I have more ideas that I can live long enough to write. And, of course, as you can tell from my books, I have a lot of interest. I write on a lot of different topics.
And you have to find time for your African safaris and your trips all around the world and all of that. People, she is a fascinating person. I don't really travel. I live vicariously through Terrence and her wild travels. So.
Yes, you have to get over your fear of flying to travel, at least some places. But I got my start actually as a travel writer. I started and my specialty was adventure travel. So I had all these wild things and all. And so that's how I started. And then I got into writing the books. And I just would come up with an idea and I just started writing down on the legal pad. And then I would start, when I got farther along, I'd get on my computer and start setting it up and doing it like that. But, you know, I still, like I said, I do a lot of old school. But there is another, I was going to mention this, that there's another something that's kind of combining old school with new school, I guess. And I could jump into telling you about.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's called the Snowflake Method.
I've heard a little bit about this.
And, you know, I don't know. I kind of feel like this is a gimmick because they've taken a simple concept. But whatever works, I don't want to say it, but what the idea behind this, and you can research this a bit more, and there will also be a link on our website, but basically in a nutshell, you start with a single sentence, one defining sentence for your novel, you know, one thing that describes what your novel's about. Then you take that sentence and you turn it into a paragraph that summarizes your novel. Then from there you insert information about your characters. And then the final step is you go back and you make every sentence that you put in here into a full paragraph.
Yes, you know what? You call me high tech, but honestly, some time ago when I first read about the Snowflake Method, I thought, this is too complicated. It would take me longer to figure this method out than it would to just figure out how to write my book and get it written. So, but well, I'm sure it works great for some people. Some people, I mean, I know there are probably people who swear by it. I haven't latched onto that method, though.
Well, you know, I do want to say, I guess, while we're on this topic here, that these are just suggestions, and if you have another way that works for you, or, you know, nothing is etched in stone, and we certainly don't want you to get so bogged down, and you don't want to listen to any one person, like Sarah said, because people, what works for one person might not work for another, or somebody might have something to gain financially by trying to sell some, you know, some program to you or whatever, and so just, In the end, these are
on Scrivener's payroll. As much as it seems like I might be, I promise you, I'm not getting compensated from Scrivener for anything.
No, and these are just ideas because a lot of times, just if you can get started, that's just the big thing. That's what we're trying to do. This whole two-part beginning to this series is getting you started and getting you started in a way that you're going to keep going. And so there is another approach that we'll just talk about here while we're doing that, and that is called the spreadsheet approach. And this is not for me at all, but it's an option, and I wanted to put it out there for people. But if you like Excel, I have a friend that does everything on Excel. Home renovations are put on there. His genealogy stuff is put on there. His bills are put on there. It does everything. So everything he equates to Excel. So if you're one of those people that your mind works that way, that's how you do it there. You set up parts of your book on Excel. Your index, your table of contents, anything like that there.
Do you actually do your writing in Excel? Or?
No, you would do that in a word processing program like Microsoft Word.
Okay.
What you're doing, I guess, to me, it seems like you're just organizing.
Okay.
The book and certain data for the book from there. But that's a lot of people like that there. And so there's stuff to that, and I'm putting a link on the site so you can go and look at that more yourself, because that wasn't something that would be for me. But like I said, I wanted to give people an option that they could, you know, look into that. The last thing I wanted to make sure to talk about here was what we call the half-hour novel approach.
Huh.
And what that is if you have in half an hour, you can have the concept for your book going there just by asking yourself six questions. And those six questions will create your outline. And I don't know whether we want to go into all six of those questions.
Oh,
and
why not? Why don't we just go into it? I think we have time.
Okay. But we can also put that on the website in case people don't want to be writing all this down, in case they're in the car or doing their dishes or something. Also post it for you there. But the first thing that you would ask yourself would be, who is your main character? And then you want to flesh out your main character. And this is also who you call your protagonist. And so you want to get into, you need to know who you're writing about, mm-hmm. who is the star of your book. And then what's the main problem that your character has to solve? What is important to this character? What is their goal? You know, what's going to be the end result from this here?
Mm-hmm.
And then what terrible difficulties are there standing in the way of your character achieving this goal or solving this problem? Because, of course, the book has to have conflict. And we are going to talk about all the important components of a book in a later podcast here, but that would just be, obviously, there has to be conflict. This cannot be an easy you have to have something to fill your book with there. They have to go through something there. So what are the difficulties with your character solving their problem, changing their situation?
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got to decide, and I know you have struggled a bit with this in your book here, Sarah, where and when your story is going to take place.
Oh, yes. I knew the time period in which it was going to take place, but I think I remember discussing with you at one point, because I have so many stories in mind that take place over a number of years. I had wondered about, you know, whether or not to begin, you know, to begin the story, I guess, at the beginning, or would it be wrong for me to write a book and then go back and tell backstory in a subsequent book, or and at what point do you pick up the story with your character? And I've definitely heard a lot about stories beginning too soon. In other words, you should wait until you really get into, I guess, that inciting incident. You know, don't have chapters before you get to something where the story actually begins.
Yeah, because you want your readers invested in your character. And so you have to set it up a bit where they understand. They've built some kind of connection to your character where they give a darn if they solve this problem. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right, right.
So that's it. But the point with this is, not to get into all that, but that's just basically your setting for your story. And so if you pick, like for you, you write historical fiction. So if you say this is going to happen in the mid-1800s, for instance, which I think your story actually happens in the mid-1700s.
That's right.
But if it were whatever it is, then you've got to know this time period, or you've got to do some really thorough research, because, you know, things were different, obviously, in that time.
There's even words that we use, you know, language, yes, they were vastly different. The word lunch did not exist in 1765. A lot of people might not know that. You know, yes, there are simple words that didn't exist back then.
So if you're going to, you know, write something, and this is true for a lot of the people now writing fantasy and sci-fi and paranormal, there's a whole lingo. And if you're writing something that's going to take place in 2050, or, you know, 1,000 years from now, or 1,000 years earlier, whatever it is, you need to make sure that you are very well defined as to where your story is going to take place, and then you're able to follow through with the information to make that plausible. And then another one of the questions that you want to make sure you ask, what type of novel are you writing? And that's something I think, Sarah, that we talked about the other day, that I wanted to do a whole segment.
We got
into genres, because this has changed a lot since I first got into writing, where it was just a mystery or a thriller or a paranormal or, you know, nonfiction. That's the lid's blown wide off of that now.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So we'll get into more of that later, but you do need to have an idea of what kind of novel you're writing. Are you writing historical fiction? Are you writing suspense thriller? Are you writing some kind of paranormal? So that's, but we will get into that later. But the last thing you want to make sure that you ask yourself as you're creating this outline that's going to get you moving forward with your story is, what are the main events that's going to happen to your character, that's going to move this story forward, that's going to end up being part of the solution? Is there going to be an epic battle? Are they in the middle? I think in your story, I don't want to say, because I know you don't want to give anything away, but I think that there was a war that took place during your story there. But whatever, maybe they have to find somebody. Maybe, you know, whatever it is, what is it that's going to happen to your character that's going to be the end result for your book? So how are they going to achieve their thing? So
actually mine takes place between two wars. It takes place between the French and Indian War and the Revolution. But as I've often mentioned, it's as though the pressure cooker has been put on a burner and it's been turned on. And so over that 10-year period, a lot of things happen. They get things sort of blown up, but continue.
Yeah, but that's the point is that you need to know what's going to happen to your character. Is there some, and there could be a lot of things that happen, and there should be a lot of things that happen throughout the course of a novel, which I guess I should just say this right now, it should be a minimum of 75,000 words. And so, you know, that may sound daunting right now, but I do know that there are ways that you can make sure that you write every day and get all your word count in, and so that you can get to this in no time at all. And I think Sarah's going to talk about that in the next podcast.
That's right.
Yeah. So that's about all I have to say on, like, these are all very diverse ways of getting started. They're all achieving the same end result, but they're all different ways, so that surely from one of those methods you can find a way that will help you move your story forward on your journey to become a published writer.
So really what we've covered in these two episodes sort of deals with the fact that planning is good. I mean, even if you want to consider yourself a pantser, you still have to know where your story's going. Even if you don't want to take the time to make an outline, even if you don't want to take copious notes about the world of your novel or your characters, and you just sort of want to let everyone introduce themselves to you as you write, you still have to know where your story is going, and you need to put some thought into that before you get started, because if you don't, you could find that you might have an idea that's really more suitable to a short story than a novel, or it might be something that's far too large for a novel, which is what happened to me on a previous attempt. I was writing something that really ended up being more of a almost a person's biography than an actual novel. There, I was trying to include far too many events, far too many things, and this was something I worked on before The Smuggler's Gambit. But definitely, you have to do some sort of planning. It doesn't mean that you're not being artistic. It doesn't mean that you're not letting your creativity guide you, because I mean, I don't really see how you can write a novel without your creativity guiding you and without being artistic, but definitely
planning
ahead.
Well, let's back up. When you were talking about your previous attempts, do you think that because you didn't maybe try one of these methods and you just kept going and that resulted maybe in the fact that you never got any farther?
My failure was this, and this is a painful thing to think about. I'm really grateful I'm past this now, but, you know, I worked on this other project on and off. I mean, it wasn't constant, not like I've been working on The Smuggler's Gambit, but on and off for about 7 years. And in the end, I had written over 70,000 words, which is all well and good, but I still wasn't done with the novel. And there was no, you know, even though I kind of had an end in sight, it was hard for me to finally realize that the story that I was writing just really wasn't interesting. I was trying to do too much with this novel. Not to mention the story was interesting to me because I had based it loosely on one of my ancestors, but it wouldn't have been interesting to other people. And
it's hard for you to let it go after you've invested that much
absolutely
of yourself into it.
That's right. And one of the things that really helped me this summer, I'll say, is I did get a book at the beginning of the summer called Outlining Your Novel by K.M. Wyland. And in her book, there were so many good ideas on outlining before I had not really outlined. I sort of did just have that idea of where I wanted my story to start and where I wanted it to end, and then maybe a little bit happened in the middle. The problem is for me personally, I need a lot more structure than that. I need to have a specific story that I'm going to tell rather than writing about a character that I just happen to be in love with. You know, a lot of people, I think, will have a character that they really just love the idea of this character and they want to tell all about this character, but they really don't have a story to tell. And so you need that. And reading that book, Outlining Your Novel, and I have a post about that on my website as well, I learned so many ideas on how to outline a novel, how to get to know your characters. If you find that you're having trouble, for instance, giving your character a consistent personality throughout your book, maybe do an interview with your character. It sounds crazy, but I mean, you just get a composition book out or your you know, computer and you write questions as though you're interviewing your character,
index
and then you
cards.
Have them absolutely, and then you have them answer as though, I mean, as though you're really talking to them and they're really answering. So anyway, lots of great ideas there, but it did help me, and it is hard to let go when you've invested so much of yourself in something. But sometimes it's better to just know when to walk away, because if a story's not working, you know, you agonizing over it for another, you know, 2 to 3 years is not going to be the thing that's going to make it a great story. It either is a great story or it's not. And so,
I think the
Smuggler's Gambit is, I'm just in love with this. I've got a whole series arc planned now. It's really exciting. So,
well, I think that's an important thing for us to make sure we mention here is if you sit down and some of these methods, you try them and you can't get, you can't get your story down using any of these methods here, then maybe this isn't a story that you should be telling.
Right.
And that's an important thing, because if you've tried all these different ways and you've just got this concept, but you can't bring it to fruition, then you do need to let that go. And maybe later, you'll have an epiphany. And that you'll come back to that, but you don't want to get so hung up, like Sarah said, on one idea that it shuts you down and prevents you, you know, like in your case, that stopped you for a couple of years from getting any farther. So, you know, and that's, people just never come back.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but you know, one thing that I got out of another book I read this summer, I think I've mentioned this book to you before and you might have, I'm sure you've read it, is, Donald Moss and his book,
mm-hmm.
How to Create the Breakout Novel or something like that. I can't remember the exact title. Forgive me, Donald Moss, if you ever hear this podcast. But nevertheless, somewhere in there he mentions, you know, basically crafting your tagline for your summary sentence early on. You know, if you can't summarize your novel into just a sentence or two, it's probably too complicated. You know, you need to be able to boil it down, boil your story down. And it was something I was really excited about when I realized that with the novel that I recently finished writing, that I was able to actually come up with a tagline that I thought sounded exciting. I mean, it was certainly something that if I saw it on a book, I'd want to read it. And so, you know, that's something that might be a good exercise at the very, very beginning of your process, when you have an idea, to try to go ahead and boil your novel down into one or two sentences.
Well, I'll just wrap up my end of this by sharing a quote with you from Gerald Pietrowicz. And he says, if you can't tell yourself what your story is in one or two sentences, you're already running into trouble. Amen.
Great quote. Perfect, perfect quote. Fantastic. Well, thank you all for listening to us today. Again, the resources, the links that we've discussed will be on our websites. The podcasts will be on both of our websites. My website is sarahwhitford.com. That's sarahwhitford.com. And Terrence Zepke's website is terrencezepke.com, terrencezepke.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.